There's got to be more than this.
We have the power to shift the atmosphere over this entire region.
Where there was no song before, now there's a song rising.
We were put on this earth to make right what was wrong.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere.
We have to be in His presence constantly.
Being in the presence of God changes everything.
Our job as worship leaders is to restore a position of God on the earth.
Welcome. This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. My name is Clint.
It's 2016.
Welcome
to 2016.
2016.
Come on. It's 2016. Woo! Yeah!
Come on.
I never thought that I would live to see 2016 when I was a kid.
Yeah!
I just always thought Jesus would come back and the end of the world would happen by then.
Ooh, wow. Oh, wow. Maybe.
I'm so excited.
Happy 2016, everyone.
Woo-hoo.
To our faithful listeners of the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, where we talk about
NGWB in 2016. NGWB.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry. Oh my goodness.
Oh, wait
yes.
a second. J-Lo's calling. She
right.
wants you for her show.
J-Lo has a show.
I'm Josh from the block, y'all. Come on. Come on.
In living color.
Oh, she wants me as one of the fly girls?
Ooh.
I think you'd make a great fly girl.
I would. Tights. Come on now.
Woo.
High Josh. Top sneakers on. Did they have dudes on the fly? No, they didn't.
No, I don't think so. Because they said fly girls. They were probably
right.
all girls.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Well, it is 2016.
And it being 2016, a lot of people that are listening to our show right now have no idea what In Living Color is.
right.
For all of you who don't know, In Living Color was a comedy show similar to Saturday Night Live that aired on Fox in 1989.
With the Wayans brothers, right?
That's right.
Haley, yeah. welcome.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I feel so special.
Sean and Marlon and
Damon
Wayans.
Wow.
Haley.
And Jim Carrey got his start on.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Jim Carrey, Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, whatever
That's
her
right.
name is.
Oh, the judge on the Dancing with the Stars. What's her name?
Carrie Ann Inaba?
Yeah, she was
no
a fly girl.
Kid.
I did not
mm-hmm.
know that.
Okay.
Fly girl on In Living Color.
Everybody gets to start somewhere. It's either that or the Disney stuff, like where all this, the current pop stars had
right.
their little...
Yeah. The Mickey Mouse Club.
The Mickey Mouse Club,
that,
right.
like, Disney, that's a little scary because most of those Disney kids turn out funny.
Let's just say that any kid in show business turns out funny.
Mm.
Period.
Yeah, it's Good hard. Thing. So 2016, guys, is so exciting. Like, what are we going to do in 2016?
Well,
2015 was amazing.
I'm going to live out my New Year's resolution of baking cinnamon rolls once a week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Josh is going to eat dark chocolate every day.
Every day. I already had like 3 candy bars today alone.
We're still waiting for Clint to shave his beard.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to shave my beard because it would scare people.
What? People would not understand.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, like, who are you and what did you do with Clint? So
it would be weird.
It would be kind of weird. Like, you convinced me to shave it once.
No,
like,
you did not
three
shave
or 4
it.
Years ago.
You did not shave it. You just trimmed it down to, like, you know,
no,
little
I took clippers
inch.
And I went,
but you didn't shave your face clean.
Because it was so horrifying, I couldn't continue.
When I first met you, Clint, when we first met, you were clean shaven.
Uh-uh.
No.
Yeah. For real.
How is that possible?
Yep. When you came
Are
to
you
the men's
me?
Retreat, however many years ago that was, and you ran, sat, and led worship.
At the retreat thing.
Yeah.
I didn't have a beard.
No beard.
None at all?
No.
Are you sure?
He may have had some stubble. He may have had the George Michael thing going on. But
maybe that was right after he shaved it down to like just kind of like really
I was
bad.
Like, oh, that's not happening again. Josh, we've been through so much together.
I know. I've seen you with a naked face.
Like, it's like 2015 was so incredible. Think about all the things that happened. Our region began to live again in a brand new way in 2015.
Do you know that we've experienced in the last year community like we've never experienced?
Totally.
All of it, even the messy stuff.
Yeah, everything that's happening, I have never experienced before. Like, just life in general, the presence of God, what He's speaking to us, the connection that goes beyond church walls in our worship community, the things happening in our community. It's like an awakening or something happening.
It's almost like we're partnering with God in a way we've never have before.
Yeah.
It's a movement of us together as one tribe.
Yeah, and I don't feel people. Like it's like you see revivals pop up. Human history is full of times and places where God moved for seasons. And I don't feel like that's what this is. I feel like this is a natural progression of unity and hearts and community and family being formed that's greater than just a church, a single local gathering.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's like a natural progression of the kingdom.
And we've operated in that for so many months now that it's almost awkward to talk about a Sunday morning building that people come together and gather to worship together as a church.
Yeah, it seems irrelevant.
There was a time where the emphasis was on local church, like build, build, build.
Right.
And now we're just going, oh, well, that's just a piece of this way bigger puzzle.
Tear down the wall.
Tear
down the wall.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. So
New Year's revolution, y'all.
That's awesome. That's really good.
We're talking about that today in our topic, shifting culture through community. And I'm really excited to dive into this with Terrence Scott later on the show.
Yeah.
From Anthems Music, has been a part of the Unite Worship Gatherings. Mm-hmm. And just really excited to hear his heart. And we're going to be talking about shifting culture kind of through this year in different ways that we can shift the culture. Next week, we're going to be talking about empowering others mm-hmm. and how that shifts culture. Yeah. And our guest next week is Francesca Battistelli.
What? Are you kidding?
Hey!
I know. It's awesome.
Shifting cool. culture. It's a theme that's in our heart. It's more than just church. We are to become culture shifters.
And then talking today about shifting culture through community.
It's on fire in our hearts, man.
So it's all coming up on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Almost a year ago, Next Gen Worship helped spearhead Unite Worship Gatherings, a 24-hour regional worship event devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. Worship leaders and musicians can sign up for 1 or 2 hour slots, and we have an ongoing potluck to encourage fellowship and connection. So bring some food and share. We encourage all forms of worship, including the arts, dance, artists, and painters. Everyone is welcome. Our next Unite Worship Gathering will be hosted at Joplin Church Alive on January 15th and 16th. To find out more or to sign up, go to UniteWorshipGatherings.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Next week, I'm super excited about us interviewing one of the most well-known Christian artists who's making a shift to the worship side of things.
Super popular right now for worship. So,
but you know what I love is the heart that a lot of these artists have, even before they're singing worship. We hear that heart
totally.
In their contemporary songs, too.
Right, so, totally.
Francesca Battistelli will be on the program whoop, whoop. With us.
Yeah. So our topic today is shifting culture through community. Not only in our hearts, is this exploding, this idea of creating a culture of community. But you know what? I hear this all over the United States. If you have a pulse on anything that's happening in the church, everyone's talking about community.
Mm-hmm. And everyone in the world is talking about community.
Totally, totally. And so I think we're really seeing a movement of Holy Spirit on purpose, knitting hearts together. And we've said it before, you know, Americans and in the American church aren't necessarily really good at relationships,
yeah.
at creating community. But I mean, we're seeing it in our region of Southwest Missouri in the Midwest, where community is being created outside of church, you know, in church, but it's transcending the church wall and yeah. even the city wall.
Yeah.
We're seeing like hearts come together.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's really exciting. And we can see the hand of the Lord just kind of weaving this fabric of community together. And we feel a purpose in it. It's just healthy.
You look back at previous generations and you see like these ebbs and flows of God appearing to be involved or not be involved. And that may just be our perspective. I don't know if it really goes in ebbs and flows or if he is more involved at times than others, or maybe we partner with him more than other times. Yeah. It's kind of a mystery a little bit, but right now, like, man, this is a big wave, and there's so much favor and grace being poured out upon his church right now, and he's partnering with us in a huge way, and we're partnering with him deliberately, you know, and he's given us really incredible ideas, creative ideas that he's helping us walk out and manifest through us.
Yeah.
And I just say, man, get on board.
Lord's wanting to teach us how to do it in a healthy way. I just said that it's healthy to have people involved in your life. And then I thought, unless you grew up with that family that was overly involved and you couldn't do anything without everybody else having an input, or you know what I mean? And that real kind of a everybody in your chili all the time kind of a deal. But I think that that's not healthy, real community. That's a community. That's just not a good one. And I think that the Lord's highlighting it because he's wanting to teach us how to do it right and how to do it healthy so that we can perpetuate and reproduce the healthy part, and instead of reproducing this dysfunctional weirdo stuff.
Always playing the devil's advocate, this one. Always bringing us back to reality.
One of the things that Jesus did when he came on this earth is he established this idea of family, because he said, God the Father.
Like our Father.
Right? Our Father.
Our Father.
That was part of his language, and he was on purpose doing that because family is the way that God works in heaven and on earth. That's really the only way this is going to work, by understanding how healthy family works. And what's cool about God is, like, when you have a concept about him, it works everywhere.
Yeah.
And we are doing this, like, how to connect with someone at the heart level and not bring an agenda into the relationship, but connect with them because you love them and you want to understand them and know them better. Then you start duplicating that. That's when family is created. That's when community is created. And not only that, we're surrounding ourselves with people on purpose who have like hearts that are becoming our cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. They're cheering on our dreams. They're cheering on the things in our heart. And they're the ones saying, I know you can do it. And not only that, here's something you haven't thought of that I see God speaking over you. And it's becoming a prophetic, really healthy culture that's being created in our region, where we're seeing people's destinies come to life. Start to kind of dust that thing off and say, God, maybe there is a great thing in my life for you after all.
Well, you said something there about those that come from the outside and cheered us on and kind of brought us under their wing, even like some of our spiritual fathers have come in. People that we weren't even really close to coming close. What I've noticed is when we go after community, it attracts community.
It does.
Very good.
It's very sticky.
Yeah. When we start to do community deliberately and we go after heart-to-heart relationships with other people and we come together as a family, it's so attractive. I mean, it attracts people with influence. It attracts people from other areas that come in and say, I want to be a part of this family. This is a cool family because it does community well.
Right. And not only are we seeking community with peers, but Haley, you and I, we have a dream list that we do. Every year we write down like some of our dreams. They could be as practical as like furniture, or they can be like totally off the chart. Mm-hmm. Like we could never accomplish this on our own. But one of the things that we put on there a couple of years ago was we want to be in relationship with people who are a little farther down the road with
us. That's true.
So what that really looks like is we're pursuing community and relationship with fathers, trying to get as many of those people around us as we can. And that doesn't always mean they're older or a lot older, but they're like hearts and they're a little farther down the road. And it's kind of this safe zone. In fact, we found that community is the safest place you can be because you're surrounded with people who know you, who are in your life. I think it helps keep everything in your life going in a healthy direction.
It's so important to not only disciple others and to partner with others that are your peers and to lift them up and encourage them, but to have those people in your life that have been there before, that have good words of advice, godly words of advice that you can go to and say, hey, I'm in this situation.
Yeah.
What do you think? You know, or those that just say, you're doing a good job, kid. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. You know, you need that.
You should have a hand in each direction, grasping someone who's further down the road who can speak into your life. And then you should have your other hand out, funneling all of that to someone else who is also on the journey.
And if you try to be that father figure or that mentor and you're constantly pouring into somebody else without getting poured into, you'll burn out quick. You'll burn out really fast. I was talking to Nick the other day and he was talking about these oil lamps that they used to use back in the 1800s. And these oil lamps had a cotton wick that would go through like a little turnstile and dip down into the oil, and the oil would soak up all the way up through the wick and it would burn easily and long. It would burn as long as there's oil in the lamp. But if the oil ever ran out, the wick would burn up. So we definitely have to have that reservoir of not just a relationship with the Lord, but relationship with others that are pouring into us as well.
You know, we see Jesus demonstrating this with his 12 disciples and even with the greater community that started to kind of gravitate towards him. But one thing that we can look at with those disciples is this: they belonged before they believed.
That's true.
they had this belonging and a family that was created within that little group that came first. It was before they even believed or understood, really. Like Jesus was saying, hey, you don't really understand what's happening now, but you will. And we also have this saying that we like to remind ourselves of. Community is the cup that transformation comes in. It's not going to come through just the Lone Ranger guy with a big, powerful ministry, kind of a model that's been in the past. But now we're seeing God bring transformation. It's like this petri dish where mm-hmm. good kingdom stuff grows in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the perfect environment for anything that God wants to do. I think it's so healthy and so exciting. And the potential for what can happen out of it is just limitless.
Yeah. And I think that God just moves so much in our relationships with each other. And, you know, we have a tendency as Christians or as people who are religious or spiritual to kind of use spiritual things as a buffer. And we call it, you know, like we have a Bible study. But you know what? In that Bible study, we spend all of our time being, quote, spiritual and never actually developing relationships with people. Because relationships are messy and they can be uncomfortable and it can be hard to do. So we kind of gloss over everything with a, hey, let's pray together. Not that we shouldn't pray. Or let's study together. Or let's be spiritual together. But that keeps us from actually getting into each other's business. To actually saying, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And this is who you are. And you know what? I just love you anyway. I love you because you are real. And like, I have a friend. There are no stones being thrown. I could say absolutely anything to her. And she would be like, oh, sweetie, I ain't throwing any stones because I have community with her. Yeah. She knows me and I know her.
And it's safe.
And it is safe. And she could call me on the carpet and I would be totally fine with it.
I think we've seen that throughout this past year in what God has been doing in creating community and creating really heart-to-heart relationships. It all goes back to accepting people the way God made them. Mm-hmm. You know, because what we've really discovered is we can be open and honest and very human and say, I understand I'm in process. Guess what? I understand you're in process.
Yep.
Guess what? I'm going to love you because I'm choosing to love and I'm choosing to go after a relationship and I'm not here to destroy you.
No.
I'm not here to hurt your reputation. I'm not here to say how bad you are, to point mm-hmm. out all your faults or any of that stuff. I'm here to love you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm here to love you and whatever your process is and whatever you're going through or whatever you're dealing with, it's all right. It's part of the process.
And that's God just lives in that.
He does.
He does. Whoa, and you want to see somebody get set free from their stuff,
love them. Yeah.
And then speak into their life who they really are.
That's it.
I mean, totally even acknowledge the drama. Just look at them and say, you know what? You are so powerful.
You don't have to be a pretend spiritual person. You can be exactly what God created you to be. This is your identity in Christ. Now use what he's given you and go. And
I'm a son or a daughter.
Yeah. I love to see women or young women understand that their history is hard, but then look at them and see a hero.
Wow.
I see a hero that sets other people free and just start speaking it to them.
I think really, and even like when you're just talking, I think everyone is hungry for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like that hunger awoke in me a little bit when you're saying that relationship you have with your friend, that you could say anything and it's safe and it's okay. And they're going to be, in fact, your biggest cheerleader. I think at a core level, maybe not everybody realizes it, but that's what they're hungry for. They're hungry for real family. They're hungry for belonging. And John 17, we keep going back to it, but Jesus prayed that we would be one as he and the Father are one so that the world would believe. And I think this is the power that's in community and in family and in relationship is the power that's going to win the world. They're not going to be drawn to our big fancy buildings, to our great music CDs, to our latest project or production or whatever you have going at your church. It's the interpersonal, supernatural, heart-to-heart connection that's being empowered by heaven.
And it's not saying, I love you, all lip service.
Yeah.
It's like the true love of the Father flowing through us.
Mm-hmm.
That's sticky.
It's sticky good,
and
baby.
When everyone starts sticking, it creates community.
So good, man. So powerful.
Well, and you know, even, and I hate to even bring it up, I guess, but I'm going to. There's going to be people who say, well, Jesus said, go and sin no more. But you know what? The woman who was caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. That's what he did first. Then he took her by the hand and said, go and sin no more because you're not condemned.
In another translation, it says, you don't have to sin anymore.
Oh, wow.
Don't you love that?
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that less religious?
Yeah. It is. First, he loved her.
Yeah.
He just took her by the hand and...
You're free.
Yeah.
So this is truly something that can shift culture at every level, even in your local gathering, your city, your region. When community starts its infectious growth,
yeah,
then I think even people that are not believers will have an attraction to what is going on in your midst.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the keys to where the Bible says, and their numbers were added to daily.
And we are seeing numbers being added to us daily with the Unite Worship gatherings. Excited about another one coming up this month.
Yep.
We're talking with Terrence Scott on the program today. He kind of got involved with us through the Unite Worship gathering.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. Coming up next.
Awesome.
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 Who defines what's possible for your life? Who has set the limits and boundaries on your mind and heart that prevents you from doing something amazing? Who would you be if your actions weren't limited by fear or impossibility? Doctors and scientists said that breaking the 4-minute mile was impossible, that one would even die in the attempt. But in 1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. His record would only stand for 46 days. When one person steps out in courage, it releases others to do the same. The truth is, anything is possible. When you begin to dream with God, you are defining the course of human history, and you are beginning to become all that He has dreamed for you. You begin to live a life without limits, and you begin to advance His kingdom in a way that empowers others to advance with you. What would our cities look like if we all took our places without fear, as sons and daughters of our wonderful Abba Father?
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back. Next week, we're excited to be talking with Francesca Battistelli as we shift culture through encouraging others. Excited for that interview. Today, we're talking with Terrence Scott from Anthems Music as we get on into the interview now.
All right, Terrence, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Awesome, man. Good to be here.
I love your heart, man. Why don't you just give us like a quick backstory on how you ended up in Joplin and where you're serving at, what you're doing now as far as worship leading.
Yeah, I grew up in Jasper, Texas, small country town northeast of Houston, right on the borderline of Louisiana. And my grandparents raised me. They were pastors. They've been pastors for about 50, 51 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And God just put me in that household, and I'm the only grandson that they raised.
Wow.
I'm basically the ninth child that they had. So they raised me, and my senior year, good Lord blessed me with a scholarship to Missouri Southern to come up and play football.
Mm-hmm.
Had no clue where Missouri was. Yeah, some people even called it Missouri. So I was a little confused at the time, but it worked. And God knew what He was doing. Brought me up here in 2006. I started playing football and began to look for a church. Stopped at a convenience store out of all places. And a lady told me that her daughter went to a church called Joplin Family Worship Center. And I came, walked through the door, and been here ever since. So I'm a part of the worship team here and help lead on Wednesdays and Sundays. And it's been great. It's been
awesome,
a good experience.
Awesome. You were telling me about how much you value the process of kind of digging in and sticking to things. And you didn't even tell me about your grandparents.
Yeah.
And 50 years of pastoring, and that's a great heritage.
Yes, it is.
Well, you even told me some stories about how the Lord said, hey, just stick with it, buddy.
Yeah. My grandpa is probably the most faithful man I know.
Wow.
He drove an hour every Sunday, every Wednesday for 50, 51 years to pastor a church of maybe 25, 30 people, 50 on Easter, you know how you double it up. But he is just so faithful. And I think that just watching him, it's not something that he necessarily verbalized, but just watching his life, it kind of instills something in me to be faithful and to be planted where I'm at. You know, a few years back, different things was going through my head of whether or not Joplin was the place for me or whether I should leave or not, and just begin to pray about it. And the Holy Spirit just clearly shed some light and spoke to my heart about staying.
Mm-hmm.
Get planted, dig your feet in, and stay. And from that, He's just done some amazing things in my life so far, and just excited about the future and what's coming.
I love the phrase you used, even talking about how you work with some of the guys in your team about being excellent.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. We have a team here of anywhere from 15 to 20 different guys that we work with whenever we lead worship at different places. And one of the things that we talk about and strongly believe in is excellence at our level.
Yeah.
We may not can play music like Hillsong or Bethel or Elevation Church or Gateway, but we can play it with excellence at our level. And that's one of the things that we've strongly committed ourselves to. And I love the guys on our team. And we're just expanding and just trusting God and being humble and just seeing where he leads.
Yeah. Well, let's go from that and start talking about Anthems Music. Yeah. And you guys just released a worship project maybe 2 or 3 months ago. Yeah. Talk about Anthems Music, how that started, and then we'll talk about your project.
Yeah, it was just a group of guys that we've led with over the last 2 years, 2.5 years. Some of the guys live in Arkansas. Some of the guys live in Kansas and Missouri. And
wow, so do they all go to church here? No, just from different places?
Yeah, different places, for sure. You know, this group is a diverse group. We come from different backgrounds. I grew up on guys like Hezekiah Walker, Kirk Franklin, and Donnie McClurkin, and these guys grew up on Under Oath.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So it's a diverse group.
It is.
You know, God just placed in our hearts, we wanted to do an album. We wanted to do a project, and I didn't know how to do it personally, but God just brought guys into my life to help us, and with extreme talent. And I tell you, they have talent. It's unbelievable, the process and the thought process that they have about music and how to do it and what to put together. So God brought us together and we started working on some music. And our pastor, Pastor Dan, started a series on sonship, which is so important.
Yeah.
So important. And he began to compare the orphan spirit versus the spirit of a son.
Oh, wow.
And from that series, God birthed in me lyrics. And I'm naturally not necessarily a lyric guy. I'm naturally a melody guy. I hear hooks and choruses and bridges and intros. That just comes natural to me. But God began to pour lyrics into my heart. So it just came from there.
Wow. And so you did a live recording, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
A live recording, East Middle School, May 2nd, 2015. And it was quite the process. You know, we kind of had to just set a date and just work toward that date versus just thinking about it and saying we're going to do something. We just kind of had to take a step of faith,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we set a date and the good Lord just began to work in it and work it out. And we got all the funds we needed.
Awesome.
And, oh my gosh, man. That's a story and a blessing in and of itself. Yeah, we wrote those songs and did the recording at East Middle School live and had a good turnout.
Uh-huh.
And from that, we released it this past November.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And it's available, you name it.
So tell us the name of the project and talk about like maybe your favorite song on there.
Wow, the name of the project is Forever Free.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite song on the album is In Him. I wanted to write a song that shine a light on where we are now as Christians versus living a life and not knowing who we are. So the song In Him comes from a place of now that we're saved, now what?
Ah, that's
in
cool.
Him, I'm free. In Him, death has no hold on me. In Him, I'm whole. Just those different things, it reminds us who we are in Christ. It starts by saying no longer bound by sin. For me personally, that was a line that I needed. And so, yeah, it just birthed me from there. In Him, I am free. And death has no hold on me. In Him, chains forever broken. In Him, I am whole. And peace has filled my soul. In Him, I'm not being shaken.
Awesome. So let's springboard off of that,
because
I kind of hear your heart, like, you know, reaching for the future there. Like, talk a little bit about some of your dreams. Like, you know, it could be related to music or anything, but like, what's in Terrence's heart down there somewhere? What's it yearning for?
I want to write songs and I want to do music that sets people free, that enlarges their perspective on life. And that could be worship music. It could be music about marriage. It could be music about love. Yeah. Like, I don't want to put it in a box.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave the planet, Clint, with what God has given me and what he's placed inside of me. I don't want to leave it there. I want to release it to the world.
Oh, wow.
And I tell people all the time, the last thing I want to do is stand before God and not have released everything that he's placed in me.
Yeah.
So yeah. I often think about the parable of the talents and how he's given everybody a measure, a gifting, and he wants us to invest it.
Totally.
And to pour it out and to give it to people. So that's my dream. That's my calling, to play music and to write music, be it in front of 5 people or 50,000 in huts or in stadiums. I don't care. Yeah. You know, that's my heart. That's my passion. So we'll see what God has in store.
So if somebody wants to connect with you via social media or get in touch with you as far as your project, mm-hmm. give us all the website, social media stuff.
Anthemsmusic.com. Terrence Scott or Anthems Music is,
and you can find the project on iTunes.
On iTunes, you can find it on Spotify, Google Play, or you can go onto our website and you can purchase a hard copy there as
Sweet,
we'll get it shipped to you. So
awesome, Terrence! I love your heart, man. Yeah. You're the real deal. Like, just sitting here talking with you, I can tell like you're committed, man. Yeah. And you've got a great heart, and I really appreciate you spending time with us today.
Awesome, glad to be here.
Join us next week for Francesca Battistelli. Same time, same place, right here on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. To join us in our journey and find out more information about how you can get involved, please visit nextgenworship.com.
Nextgenworship.com.
Please tune in next week at this same time as we discuss what's on the Father's heart for our generation.